Hey, what's up, everyone? Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
We have a episode coming after this segment here on dating.
Fun.
Yeah, and it's a really, really good episode, too. We kind of went in-depth on this episode. And really, I mean, our first two episodes in this series have been great. Last week with Jerry was really good on singleness.
Absolutely.
First episode with both of us just kind of giving an overview on our areas in life.
Yeah.
And our status in life. But today is on dating, and it's Valentine's Day, which is a...
It is.
I guess it's a pretty cool episode to have.
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And we didn't plan it that way.
No, not at all.
When we put the schedule together, it was like, oh, hey, look.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
This is working out perfectly.
Right. So Nick and I wanted to take a moment to reflect on Valentine's Day. Nick, what does Valentine's Day kind of mean to you? What do you normally do on Valentine's Day, you and Robin?
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's just another day. We have a little more fun for our kids on that day. Like, we give them a little box of chocolates, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. For this year in particular, me and my wife were at Target, and she was like, hey, I want this box of chocolate for Valentine's Day. And she picked it up, put it in the cart. I was like, cool. She's like, you want anything? I was like, no, I don't really like Valentine's Day chocolate, so I'm good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how, I mean, you know, it was cool when we were younger. Mm-hmm. Especially like, well, not even in high school. I mean, Valentine's Day, I feel like, is an elementary school thing.
Yeah.
Like, when you get the little bag and you stuff. Get to put, make sure you get that extra special one for your crush.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, as an adult, it doesn't mean much to me personally.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm speaking for my wife when I say this too. And when we get her on the podcast, she doesn't just tear me a new one. Please don't do that. So yeah, but no, it's not, I mean, yeah, it's just not a big thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've never done. We might do like a kickboxing class on that on
nice. That
on Valentine's
awesome.
Day. A couple's one if I can convince her to do it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That would be
How
dope.
About you? What's it mean? What's it mean to you, Manny?
It doesn't mean much. Normally, I just kind of sit on the couch with a box of chocolate and a bag of marshmallows and a box of tissues. And I just sit there. Nah, actually, like, it doesn't. I mean, it's just another day. I think it also because we're guys.
Yeah.
There's that dynamic, too. You know, I definitely as a kid in elementary school, celebrated it with a little card thing
mm-hmm.
that you took to school. Definitely had the little one for the crush.
That's right.
Middle school, we actually went really hard at Grace Brethren.
Really?
Like, there was, like, this whole little setup where you could go buy a bear or you could buy something, and they would deliver it to whoever you wanted to send it to.
Okay.
And so I definitely did that in middle school.
Nice.
Had a little bear, and I remember, like, a little flower that was sent to this girl that I was my girlfriend for, like, a day. And then then it wasn't a title after that.
Yeah.
But they sent it to her, and so that's how we did it at Grace Brethren. Other than that, like,
nice.
We never really celebrated it much.
Man, I don't remember doing anything in middle school.
Yeah.
Nothing. I did get a girlfriend, something similar. I had a girlfriend for, like, 4 days mm-hmm. after Valentine's Day. Her name was Chantel. And listen, this is... We might have to put something on the I Want Out podcast on our Instagram and stuff for this. Yeah. I had bleach blonde hair.
Oh wow!
Your boy was trying to be Slim Shady, and like I had just done it, and it was a couple days before Valentine's Day, and apparently she really liked it and was like, I want to date him now, because I was her own little Slim Shady, I guess.
Shady.
It didn't last long.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a very interesting, like, my biggest highlight in middle school for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So, and then of course high school was just an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, amen.
Man, well, now I'm gonna have to dig up a picture of me with bleach blonde hair.
Yeah, we definitely need that. We definitely need more material of Nick.
Yeah.
To post on our One Out's page.
That could be our what's it called for that day.
Our whole little reel and our profile picture of the day.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know since we're both guys, and then we both have that dynamic of it just not being much for us, but we don't want to minimize it for people who really care about this day.
Yeah.
People who may not have a spouse, may not have a, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, may be single, and you know, they care about this day and they have nothing to really do on this day.
Yeah.
So how do we speak into people that are like that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's about, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have much to offer. again, it's just another day to me.
Right, right.
But I do know, like, there's certain people that, like, I've had friends in the past that are like, oh, I hate Valentine's Day. It just reminds me I'm single and I don't have anything going for me. I was like, whoa. You mean you don't have anything going for you just because you don't have a girlfriend? It's like, chill out, man. Your life's not ending.
Yeah.
So, that's about all I've got. Just don't, just keep going. It's another day. And don't watch a bunch of romantic movies that day to make you even more sad. Mm-hmm. I mean
the day is about love.
Like, yeah.
I think, you know, I don't know the origins of Valentine's Day. I can't remember all that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, I look at it as like a day that's supposed to be filled with love. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, always remember that God loves you. God is with you. But just practically, like, too, just if this day does mean something to you, you don't need anybody to celebrate the day. I mean, you can order food in, go out, get some food. You know, you can grab your own box of chocolate, get your own flowers, you know.
That's right.
You know, celebrate
you.
Yeah, celebrate you. And
some self-love.
Yeah.
Ain't no shame in that.
No shame in it at all, you know. So, but I do understand that it can be hard, and just wanted to take a minute to reflect on that.
Yeah, we were sitting here talking, since we are celebrating the Day of Love.
Mm-hmm.
What's your love language, Manny?
What's my love language? I think I've done it before. I think it's words of affirmation.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is weird because, like, I think it's only with people that are, like, really, really close to me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when I'm doing stuff, I just want to hear, like, it's being seen. Like, that you see that I'm trying and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's mine.
Yeah.
And look, y'all, I am not a romantic at all. My wife would be here saying amen. I very much love to express my love and how I feel about people through words.
Yeah.
I love to write. Like, I like writing. People read my writing like, oh, your grammar's terrible. I was like, yeah, because I don't care about grammar. Sorry. Get over it.
Yeah.
But like, I've always written, like especially like for my wife, when we get close to our anniversary, or just randomly, I'll write a nice love post for her. Cause I just, you know, it's just something I do.
Right.
And I like my wife hates getting cards and she hates getting cards. She's like, it's a waste of money. Cause I'm just going to throw it away.
Right.
But for me, I love getting cards that when people actually write something in there. Yeah. I do too.
Yeah.
But I also, cause again, I'm a words of affirmation guy. So when someone's giving me a card and it's like, and when it's a card that's not just love so and so,
like something written out.
When someone's written it, that means a lot to me. So that's how I know I'm words of affirmation.
Yeah. I had never even, because I did the test once, but I never thought of it that way, of it also being that's the way that you love.
Yeah.
Because I guess that could be it for me too. I always try to make sure I let people know that they appreciate it. I'm constantly, I say thanks as like a million times.
Yeah.
I'm always thanking people. I'm always just trying to make people know that, like, hey, I really, really appreciate that you're doing something, you know, or whatever it is. Like, just want to make sure that you know that you're appreciated, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So if y'all are watching this on YouTube, make sure you leave us a comment. Let us know what your love language is.
Yes. Please let us know.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So, we have a dating episode coming up. Just a reminder that you can leave us a review or a rating on Spotify or Apple. Really, really important for us. If you guys can definitely just pause the podcast or take a minute to leave a rating, 5 stars, preferably.
Yep, please.
And write maybe like a 1 or 2 sentence. That really helps us with positioning on those platforms, being able to be found by somebody who may be searching for something.
Yeah.
That's really, really helpful for us. And then also we have our Patreon, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So you can follow the link in there. And if you want to come help support us and kind of the vision for I Went Out and for the Avert Community Truck, that's an awesome way to partner with us monthly for $10 a month.
Yeah.
So cancel that gym membership you ain't using.
That's right.
And come help support some your boys.
Yeah, your little New Year's resolution.
Yeah, yeah.
You purchased that gym membership. You went one day.
That's right. That's right. And if you want some gym advice, come to FCF.
That's right.
Your boy Coach Kev and Coach Nick are over there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amen.
And make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube as well.
That's right.
Give some likes to our videos and
share.
Pause now. Like, stop what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Pause this. Before we even move into the dating stuff, pause it.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah. Please. Thank you. We really appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Here's our words of affirmation.
That's right.
Amen. All right, guys. Enjoy the show.
All right. See ya.
What's up? I'm Manny.
I'm Nick.
And we're back with another installment of our relationship series. Today's a juicy one.
Have they not all been juicy so far?
Yeah, they have all been juicy. Yes, they have. So we're about to move. We talked about singing this last time. We had our brother Jerry on. It was an awesome conversation about singleness. And this time we're moving to that next step, which is still, as we kind of discussed in that singleness topic, like this is still... Even when you're in the dating phase, and you know you're still unmarried, but we're going to kind of talk about dating and what that looks like, especially as Christians. So Nick, I want to start off just kind of. I know we already kind of gave our relationship status and kind of talked about how we got there. But you want to talk about your kind of give an overview of your history in dating, like how did that go? Did you do it in a good way or?
I mean, yeah, I guess. I'm thinking about, like, I don't know, I'm just got me and Robin's dating. That's whatever dating looks like for a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old. I mean, we went to the movies together. We didn't do anything crazy in the movies. We usually weren't friends. I usually fell asleep in boring movies, or we would leave for boring movies because someone was getting in a fight or something like that. But our dating wasn't like a really like a big thing for us. We were just hanging out more than anything. I don't think we dated much in that sense of like going out on dates.
Right.
Like, you know, when you're in a relationship, you're dating.
Right.
But no, we didn't do that. I mean, in our marriage, we like to go out on dates. Mm-hmm. Like, we'd go out to dinner. As married people, our date consists of, first of all, the kids are gone. Praise the Lord. Our kids are old enough. Our oldest is old enough now.
Yeah.
We have built-in babysitting now, so it's amazing.
That's awesome. Praise
God. Just for all the married couples out there with little ones, there's light at the end of the tunnel eventually where you can have an older kid to babysit for you. You don't have to pay for it either because you have a roof over their heads. Our dating now is, we go out to dinner, hang out, eat. Sometimes we see a movie, or sometimes we go to Target and just walk around Target, and that's our date sometimes. But every once in a while we'll go out a little something fancier. We do more like lunches now just because it worked for our schedule while the kids are in school.
Right.
That's like my dating in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I'm probably botching this, and Robin will come on here at some point and clean all this up. And give me the look of like, how dare you forget this? Or she'll sit there and tell me he's not romantic, so we don't do dates. He doesn't do anything nice anymore. Blah, blah, blah. I love you. So yeah, that's me.
Amen. So yeah, to reiterate kind of what we talked about in the, I guess it's the first episode of this series. My dating history is not like large because, like, you know, as I mentioned before, like, I grew up not really feeling the need to label anybody like a girlfriend, and so I didn't give necessarily girlfriend privileges, which I believe a date, or if you're trying to, you know, get that person to be your girlfriend, that's kind of what a date is like for.
Yeah.
So, like, that wasn't really a thing. I had, you know, the one girlfriend that I had when I was in middle school, probably around whatever, like, 6th, 7th-ish grade. I don't know what age that is. I can't remember.
It's like 11, 12, 13-ish.
Yeah. So, that's, like, super young. Yeah. And so, those weren't, like, dates. Like, we would go to our school basketball game.
Yeah, you know, stuff I like dated that. When I was in middle school, and it was I don't even count that.
It's nothing. But as an adult, you know, like, as I mentioned, like I can count on one hand how many dates I've been on, and and they haven't been bad. Like it hasn't been like anything bad. So
you don't have any horror stories?
I have no horror stories, man. No horror stories.
We
sat
down and we just stared at each other the whole time, not knowing what to say.
Yeah. I literally, like, you know, I've heard some people, and they're like, I had a bad date. And I'm like, well, how, like, what constitutes a bad date?
Yeah.
And I've heard some, like, horror stories. And I'm like, man, that, you know, thank God I haven't had that. But, you know, I haven't had many opportunities to have it either. So, you know, thank God for that as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, before we kind of dig deep into the topic of dating, as you guys know, like we always try to define it. I guess we want to give a definition of, like, a general definition of dating, and then how should Christians view it? You have a general one?
Of dating?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're essentially... I would say you're courting somebody. You're trying to figure out who they are, the ins and outs about them. Yeah. They're trying to figure that out as well. And you do that usually in like a public setting.
Right.
And then it's just like, yeah. And then there's dates and then there's dating.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, when we're talking about dating, if we're defining that, I essentially see that as you're courting. You're trying to figure out like, hey, are we compatible?
Yeah.
And one thing I think it'll probably start to be interwoven throughout this is I think that's a time where you really begin to try to figure out the love language of who you're courting to communicate properly. Like,
right.
I'm thinking like my love language is words of affirmation.
Mm.
My wife's is physical touch.
Okay.
Like she feels the most loved and most appreciated when, you know, when I touch her.
Right.
When you affirm, like give me words of affirmation, that's how I feel loved. So I think that's figuring that out during that season of like, hey, this is what they like.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, go that way. Because you can try to set, you can buy someone a bunch of gifts while you're dating them and they're like, this means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't, gifts is not my thing.
Yeah.
But you could say like, hey, you know, using words of affirmation could go a long way in that dating phase. So I think it's that dating is the courting, really figuring out.
Right.
If you're compatible, if you know, all that good stuff.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad you made that distinction of between dates and dating. Like, how many dates do you think
before you consider your dating?
You consider yourself dating? Like, do you have to like define it?
Man, I think if you go on more than three dates, you can go. It's pretty much safe to say there's some interest there.
Okay.
You know, if you like, say you go on three specific dates, but yet then you have a constant line of communication.
Hmm.
I think at that point you can consider yourself dating. Okay. Like you're courting one another. You're trying to figure out, is this a thing or is this not a thing?
Right.
So yeah, I think I'm not a guy to put numbers on things. I don't like that. But I think, you know, if you're going on more, like you're going on three dates, but yet you're in constant communication, you're constantly talking to each other, like you're courting at that point.
Right.
And you're really trying to figure out like, hey, is this a thing? Is this going to work?
Yeah.
Are we compatible?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So, you know, and I think, I don't know the actual historical context behind the word dating, but I do know that I've heard that it's still, like, fairly new. And people are still, like, trying to figure out, like, how to navigate that, especially, like, you know, now that we're coming from a pandemic and all that. So it's kind of, like, constantly evolving. I think worldly dating, there's a lot of cloudiness to that, you know, because it's like you're going out on dates, but like a lot of times like sex is involved with it, and like the lines that we have in you know, godly dating, as we would call it, they don't have that in worldly dating. And so I guess like when we're looking at it from the lens of as Christians who are trying to date in a godly manner, one of the things that I like to say is that there's a goal and there's a purpose to dating.
Yeah.
And so like the purpose is for you to figure out if this person is your spouse. So like you have marriage in mind, like that's the end goal. Doesn't mean that you're going up to a person and you're only going to ask a person out who you think God told you is your wife or anything like that. Like, it's just, you have that intentionality to say, okay, dating, as a Christian, I should view it as something as like, I'm going to take this serious and I'm going to have the mindset of really viewing this person that I'm on the date with, yeah. asking myself the important questions of, okay, can I see myself, you know, with this person? Like, that's the, what I see as the purpose of dating. But this goal of dating, and it's something that, like, I really am intentional about. I think the goal to dating in a godly manner, the goal should be to glorify Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In all things, we are supposed to glorify Christ.
Yeah.
And when you have that goal in mind and you're dating, your season of dating, this means that you're always going to be asking that question, is what we're doing glorifying God? Mm-hmm. And when you start asking yourself that question, then you don't even have to necessarily even draw the boundary lines. You're already placing that boundary there, because you're not going to go too far when you're asking yourself the question, is this glorifying God?
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah. So that's kind of my definition of dating in a godly manner.
Yeah. That's good.
And something that I lean on, and will be leaning on, you know, when entering that phase for sure of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what's up.
So now let's get super, super practical, because we want to, like, kind of give you guys some steps here. So, like, let's start off with, like, how should a date be initiated? Like, who should initiate the date? How should it be initiated? How should that happen?
I don't know. I haven't done it in a long time. Hey, babe. You're looking real good.
Oh, no.
You want to go out with me?
Oh, no.
See, I don't know. Like, that's what I would do to my wife now, because I have that relationship. I'll just walk up and, yeah, let's go. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would initiate now, because, again, if my wife were to tragically pass, I would not be dating. Mm-hmm. So, I'm the wrong guy for that question.
Yeah.
How would you initiate a date, Manny?
So I would be the wrong guy, but I actually do have a little bit of experience.
Okay.
A little bit of recent experience, I guess.
Okay.
And one thing that I would say, like, number one, be super, super... First of all, let me backtrack here.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of, like, who should do the asking, because I know this is, like, a new age thing. Like, historically, like, it's the guy that asks. But nowadays, like, you know, there's people, relationship coaches and stuff, who have, like, this phrase of, like, drop the hanky and stuff for women, where they, like, kind of, like, breadcrumb a little bit so that guys know that you're interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problem with that. Then you have the girls who are very, very bold, and they are willing to just ask guys themselves if they want to go out on a date with them. I've had that happen to me several times, actually. I've never said yes to any of them, unfortunately. To be honest. And yeah.
No, I can't even ask you, because you asked me first.
it wasn't because they asked me.
Oh, okay. All right.
It wasn't that. One person actually did it twice, and we were really, really good friends.
Hmm.
And I wasn't even... This was like middle school, man. So I wasn't even, like, feeling her that way. But I told her each time, like, I view our friendship as a great friendship, and I don't want to mess that up. And so, you know, I said no twice.
And so I did that too in high school.
You did?
Right before I started dating Robin, there was this... there ain't no way she's listening to this or ever will. But even so, she's crazy. She had asked me out. I was like, no. This is not happening.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess she took it as, in her mind, it was a yes. And she literally made a reality of where we were a couple to where people were like, are you dating so-and-so? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
They're like, really? She got pictures. He was like, what do you mean she got a picture of me? How did she get a picture of me? It's like, this is before, like, smartphones too, so I don't know how she got a picture. And then she wrote this, like, long, crazy note about how we were getting married, how we were doing X, Y, and Z.
Wow.
And my English teacher at the time was a G. And she was like writing it in class when she wasn't supposed to be or something like that, and takes it and looks at me and comes to me real quick. He's like, are y'all thinking? I was like, no, man, she's lying. He reads the letter out loud.
Oh.
And then he says, these are lies. Wow. And that girl, I don't know whatever happened to her. I never saw it. Like, she got moved out of that class. No. That teacher was a Jeep. Like, yeah. He was just like, yeah, this is a lie. Blah, blah, blah. Like,
oh, no. Oh, no.
I wish I could have went back and asked him to be my best man in my wedding for that one, because he was looking out there. But, that's the only good
way of blocking.
Yes. Yes. But, no, that's as you were talking about the girl asking you, it's like, oh, wait, that did happen to me.
Yeah.
It made an elaborate story, and it was like, whoa, no.
Mm-hmm. My advice to women, and I've, my two sisters in Christ talk about them a lot, Ashley, Ariel, so I don't think it's wrong to shout them out, but I've had this conversation with them a few times. You know, I will encourage the woman to strike a conversation. You know, if you haven't the person's number, like, reach out and just, you know, kind of start a conversation here and there. It doesn't have to be you necessarily asking them out, but, you know, it's super hard for guys. Like, I know personally, like, I just don't know.
I was going to say, sometimes we're just stupid.
Yeah. I have no idea.
You don't know. Like, I know, like, my wife will be, like, she'll look at me a certain way sometimes. Like, why are you looking at me like that? She goes, because I love you. I'm like, oh, whoops, I misread that one. So, yeah, like, sometimes, like, I'm with you. Like, sometimes guys just don't know. Yeah. Like, let them know, hey, I'm interested.
Right. And I see nothing wrong with that. So that, the drop the hanky, whatever that thing is called, like, I mean, I have no problem with that at all. But, you know, like, for me, like, personally, I would like to do the asking out. And when I do that, like, it's really important to me that it's done well and in clarity. So, like, actually using the word date. Yeah. Like, not like, hey, let's hang out, or let's you want to go to this place with me or whatever. Because, like, in the girl's mind, like, yeah, she could think it's, you know, it's probably, like, in her mind, probably like a date, but she doesn't know. Like, you wanna make it clear from the beginning so that she doesn't even have to ask the question. She knows that, hey, this is a date. This is what, you know, this is what it's about. And she can prepare for that. And then also for you, you know, you're already kind of taking that leadership step and trying to bring clarity to things and say, okay, this is truly a date. I am asking you out on a date. I like you. I want to get to know you some more. And then you proceed from that. So that's you know, my move and what I think that guys should do. And, you know, even girls, if they, you know, want to do that. But, you know, make it clear.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. That's good. So once you've asked a person out on a date, and also, but real quick, before we get to the next one, because I don't think we mentioned this. I think we talked about it off air, about, like, the online dating. So I know there's we may kind of talk about this a little bit in another episode. But I know there's people who are online dating. And from what I've heard about online dating, because I've actually never done it myself, and I don't feel compelled to do it. For one, just because I don't feel compelled to do it. But then also, like, I want to protect my heart. Because I know that would probably lead me to sin, to be honest. And I don't want to do that. So, but for those who are doing it and have the self-control to do it well, again, you know, when you're chatting with the person, you know, be clear about your intentions. Meet with this person via Zoom or whatever so you're not getting catfished. Make sure you see the person's face, hear their voice, actually see them moving their lips and stuff.
Yeah.
And, before you go out on date, so that way you kind of get to know the person. You know, you're not going out with a person who's murdered like 5 people or whatever and got away with it.
Hey, everybody needs to love somebody. So when you say, real quick, when you say you're protecting yourself from, like, when you say sin, you thinking, like, it would be something like you would lust after somebody? Is that what you're... Okay.
I think I would be lusting. Gotcha. Because from what I know about online dating, like, it's kind of like... kind of like social media, where you have, like, all these faces of people, and you just scroll through to see, like, which one you like. And I know I'm such a visual person.
Yeah. Okay.
That, you know, when I see somebody, then, you know, it's not going to be good for my heart. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I want to protect that.
Yeah, and I do know, like, one of my my friends from a while back, like he met his wife online, yeah. and they've been happily married ever yeah. since, and got a couple kids together. And
well, so well our boy Alex Stone and Carla.
Okay,
they met on eHarmony. Sorry if I'm wrong, Alex, but they were a success story.
Okay, amen. Yeah.
They met on eHarmony.
Shout out to Alex and Carla. Sites.
Yeah, yeah.
We appreciate your time on this podcast, Alex.
That's right. Love them, man. And so it can work. Like, it can work.
Amen.
Like, I see no problem for that for Christians, but I would just say to be careful,
yeah.
especially if you lack that self-control in that area. Definitely amen. Be careful.
That's good advice.
Yeah. All right, so now let's say you've asked a person out on a date. That person said yes. How should those first few dates look?
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think this should be fun.
Hmm.
Man, I think... I don't know if that's just my... I like to have fun.
Yeah.
And I know my wife likes to have fun. So yeah. My wife's not the type of one to like, let's go to a fancy restaurant and eat dinner and then just talk. Like, let's go have some fun.
Yeah.
She'd rather have some cheap... Well, I'm saying this now. She's probably going to come on here and be like, that's wrong now, Nick. I want to do this. But, you know, I'm just like, I think having fun together is a really good way to drop the waterline.
Yeah.
And it puts... Usually when you're doing something fun, you might not be putting yourself into, like, compromising situations, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To try, like, sometimes when you go to a fancy, like, you might try to get intimate, a little intimate too quick yeah. with your conversation,
right.
With the things you're trying to talk about. It's like, man, like, let's just get to know each other first and have some fun.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, this is my type. I'm thinking, like, let's go ride some go-karts.
Golf carts would be
golf carts. Let's go play some top golf. Let's go to a game, something yeah. like that. You know what I mean? Like, just go have fun together and, like, I feel like a lot too, like, again, because I feel like it's a little easier to drop that, the fakeness that I think might come in, like, again, I don't date, I don't know, but I yeah. feel like there could be, like, let's try to put on the best me.
Right.
Right away, so this is like, because let's be honest, that's not you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be fake, like, put yourself in situations where you can be the real you, have fun.
Right.
Not try to be this perfect man or woman. That's just not reality.
Yeah.
And you're setting a standard that you can't keep.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in my personal opinion, I think having fun, would be a really good way of starting and how date wise.
Yeah.
And then progressing from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think it also depends on, your prior relationship with that person, like mm-hmm. say if you have been friends before or if you like completely didn't know the person, you know, if you didn't know the person, then it's like that first day is like definitely you really got to get to know that person.
Yeah.
So you want to do something where you can talk
mm-hmm.
and you know, doing an activity is still that can kind of help break the awkwardness mm-hmm. or, you know, an easy way to kind of give you guys something to talk about
mm-hmm.
Before kind of get into like the deeper, not, you know, of course you don't want to get too deep on those first few dates.
See, I just envision if you go to a fancy restaurant, this is weird, especially if there's like no prior relationship, like no friendship, like you just sit down at this fancy restaurant and you're just sitting there standing like, I guess my name's so-and-so. I like to cut, like, I just feel like it would be so weird.
Right.
Especially one's an introvert and the other one's extroverted. Like, it's all, you're asking for a failure right there.
Right,
like,
yeah, yeah. And, I mean, try to get to know something about the person, maybe prior to asking them out on a date. Because that's the other thing, you know, especially as Christians. And I can only speak for Christian guys. Like, and I guess this would apply for women, too. I think some wisdom there would be, like... when asking a woman out on a date, maybe try to step back before asking that person out on a date. Like, say if that person is going to your church or something like that, maybe observe them for a little while. You know, get a chance to see them around people, see how they interact.
Not in a creepy way.
Not in a creepy way. You know, talk to them. Yeah, not in a creepy way. Just, you know, be natural, like normal. Yeah. You know, see them in community. You know, and again, like even with the online dating and stuff, of course you want to have that prior, you know, chatting and whatnot, maybe of course talking to the person on FaceTime and stuff
mm-hmm.
and, you know, try to get something that will help you know a little bit about what this person likes, mm-hmm. so that maybe you can implement that early on in that first or second date. You know, because, I mean, the person may hate seafood, mm-hmm. or something like that, yeah. and you take them to a seafood restaurant, or the person may not like roller coasters and you take them to an amusement park. So, yeah. And again, like, you may not even know it, but it's just, I think it just, it's wise, especially as Christians, to kind of get to know the person a little bit and observe a little bit too, because mm-hmm. you don't want to, I don't say you don't want to just ask a person out purely on attraction.
Yeah.
But that's, like, personally, that's been something that I've always been reluctant with, is, you know, yes, I can be attracted to you, but I don't want to waste my time either.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I want to know that there's something there that, that is worth actually pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like...
It's good.
Yeah. Like, I guess we may talk about prefaces and stuff one day, too.
Jerry's not welcome on the show.
Yeah, Jerry's not welcome. If it's, like, super, super specific and narrow to, like, something... But yeah, so So again, like Nick said, you know, do something fun. Keep the conversation light. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily you grilling the person about, okay, hey, what was your relationship history and why did you break up with this person and who what was that person's name, like, and so what happened? What did you do? And did y'all have sex? Like, what happened with that? Like, just kind of keep it a little calm, you know. Just
how many kids you want to have?
Yeah. A little chill, you know. Yeah, yeah. On the first one, kind of feed off one another, you know, pay attention to what the other person is kind of talking about and where she or he is going with the conversation, and just keep it natural, like a natural, like, conversation. Yeah. You know, there will be a time when you do want to become intentional about asking some of those deep questions, but mm-hmm. you know, you want to know this person first, and because nobody's going to be comfortable going deep if they don't know you.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta you know, break down those walls first. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, so I guess now let's say you've done a few dates, or you've done several dates,
yeah,
and you've had DTR, define the relationship.
So they're officially dating.
Yeah,
now, officially dating now.
Okay. Officially boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever you want to call it, or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. That's your boo thing. that's bae. Yeah, you know, yeah. Whatever. You got the heart emojis and stuff in your cell phone. So, like, what? How should you navigate that season as being committed to a person, like, exclusively, and now, I guess, pursuing something deeper? Like, how should that be navigated?
With boundaries, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, man, because I think people move so quick.
Yeah.
But I also think there's sometimes that, especially I'm thinking in Christian circles and people I've known, and I've literally heard, like, when someone starts dating and two Christians start dating, like, well, you guys know you're probably going to be with each other. Why not just get married so you can have sex?
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Is this whole relationship just so we can get the sex?
Exactly.
Because if this whole relationship is all about getting the sex, this relationship might not be for us. And I think that's, and I'll be honest with you, like, me and Robin had sex very early,
yeah.
In our relationship when we were kids, essentially. And man, it changes the dynamic of the relationship.
Yeah.
It brings things, it complicates the relationship. Mm. And when it's brought into the relationship early, it confuses things, it messes things up.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want, like, there is a serious, like, when you as a couple can discipline yourselves enough to wait till that marriage, till the day you get married. I mean, I think, you know, we talked about this on the first episode,
yeah.
of Is There Any Regrets? And I think both me and Robin would say it would have been cool, mm-hmm. to have saved it.
Yeah.
To make that wedding, because, you know, we did on our wedding night, we had smashed so much and I mean she was pregnant too at the time. We just fell asleep.
Wow.
The wedding night was just like, I'm tired, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know, I just think having healthy boundaries as you move into, as you become a thing, you become more serious, I think having that boundaries in place, but also taking that time to be able to get a little more intimate of knowing who you are, who to know each other.
Right.
That's when I think like really figuring out their love language would be very beneficial. Mm. Having a very open line of communication.
Yeah.
Because again, I think the earlier you can communicate clearly with one another, the better off you'll be in the long run in your relationship.
Yeah.
Communicate, hey, I'm being honest with you. I'm struggling here right now in this area, and I want to do things that I know we both have, like we're trying to wait on. Just having that, those honest conversations, I feel like could go a long way, for the relationship. Yeah. And having those boundaries in place, I think, are really important.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my take.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, I kind of go back to that purpose and goal thing, and you know, just remembering like what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
And like truly just constantly asking yourself, like, is this glorifying Christ? Is what we're doing glorifying Christ? And the communication thing, again, like being very clear,
mm-hmm.
and you know, what you're doing and where you are in the relationship, what your expectations are, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, it's important to build that communication and that line of communication, because, you know, I can only assume that's going to be so, so important for you in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So once you, when you already are building upon that, you know, I think it'll make it a little easier transition wise for you when you potentially get into marriage. That's that relationship leads. But like, even what about like, and I know you kind of mentioned too, kind of like, how long like do you think a relationship should last? Like, even with this perspective,
like before you like take that next step of proposing, like getting married. Man, I think that's see, I'm in that mindset of like, you can't put a timeline on that.
Right.
Like, I knew when the moment was right to ask Robin to marry me.
Right.
Though, like I said earlier in the podcast, another episode, like we split for a little bit and then had to do the whole process over again. But I don't think you can put a timeline on that.
Yeah.
Because then you're creating this timeline that's, again, your timeline.
Yeah.
God might have another plan for you to kind of work through some things as a couple before you actually get to where you need, where he wants you both to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm saying, okay, we've dated for a year, it's time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be honest with you. You don't know who that person is within a year.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to get to truly know somebody.
Right.
Now I'm not a proponent of being together in a relationship for 10 years before you get married. That's ridiculous.
Right.
I'm not even a big fan of like being together for like 5 years before you get married. But I do think, you know, it's got to be over a year. In my opinion, it's healthy to be over a year.
Okay.
But there's the flesh side.
Mm-hmm.
Of I can just think of one of my boys. Like, bro, but I got to test the goods, man.
Mm-hmm.
What if it ain't good? What is that night?
Right.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
What if she doesn't think you're good?
Mm.
What if she don't think you add up where I'm at in bed? Like, what does that mean for you?
Yeah.
He goes, well, that would suck. I was like, yeah. So why is it that important though?
Right.
Like, again, like if that's what you're concerned about, man, like you're not ready for marriage, man.
Yeah, that's real.
So that's just my I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, again, like even saying a year. Like, someone probably listening is like, well, we got married after 8 months. Is that a problem? Like, no. Again, like, it's all about God's, like, mm-hmm. God's timing. That's why, like, even as I'm saying this, I'm still hesitant to say a year or more. Because, again,
right.
That's my opinion,
right.
My timeline.
Right.
God does his own thing individually and with these couples.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big proponent of people rushing. I've seen that way too much,
mm-hmm.
especially older people.
Yeah,
they'll be together for like a few months, and I'm like, "Yeah, we're getting married." I'm like, "Whoa, already?
Right?
Cool.
Right.
All right."
Yeah.
But then my concern is like they don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just don't know each other within a few months.
Right.
It's impossible to get to know somebody that quick.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can begin to know somebody,
yeah.
but then you move in together, and you're like, "Who is this human being?
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I signed up for."
Mm-hmm.
And then you end in divorce.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the framework and the effort put in to fight fair. And to learn how to fight through the hard times. And to fight through your significant other's flaws.
Yeah.
And to love them despite their flaws.
Right.
And, I mean, I think the divorce rate's the same rate or higher in the church as it is in the world.
Which is terrible.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's because, again, I think we too often Christians just rush into it. They try to fit, they try to do the right thing, air quotations for those who aren't watching but are listening.
Yeah.
By withholding till marriage, but then they're rushing to get to the marriage so they can have sex. So and then it's like, but they've missed so much in between, or so much leading up to that.
Right.
And again, like you, there's valuable things to learn in the in a season of dating and courting and being in a relationship.
No, that's good. And I think like also like maybe it also depends on how long you've known the person prior to you dating. But even then, like, there's still, like, more that you learn about a person, I would think, when you're in that dating more of a relationship.
The friendship is different than a relationship.
So there's still much
to... You went from my homegirl to my, oh, you're my thing now. It's different.
Cool thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I agree. I don't think I would be in the party of cutting it short, shorter than, like, a year. But then I'm also in the party of not trying to prolong it.
Yeah.
Like super, super long. And it's not that I'm not trying to burn a passion or anything like that. But, I think it would be more so where you don't want to create that, that room, that space for that to actually happen where, because I feel like the longer that you guys are withholding and the longer you just keep going and stuff, when you know, it makes it like easier for you to kind of fall into that. So, but again, like when Jesus is at the center of it all, he will lead and guide you, and you just have to be, you know, listening to his voice and surrendering to his guidance on that.
Premarital counseling is a huge deal. Do not skip that. If you listen to this podcast, if you're planning on getting married, you're in a relationship, you plan on getting married, and you attend another church that's not LifePoint or Avert, get premarital counseling. It will set you up for success.
Do you think that's good, like even before you're engaged?
No.
Okay.
Because it's really geared towards, at that point, if you're not engaged, like you're still undecided on like, in my opinion, if that's what you, if you both want to be, go that way. But once you're engaged, you should do it. Like I know, like I've had the privilege to do premarital counseling. Me and my wife have done the privilege of premarital counseling with three couples now. And so far they're all still married. Praise God. I have three. Keep that record going.
Better than the Panthers.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, we started off 3-0 and we've gone downhill. So whoever's getting on marrying next, be on the lookout. No, I'm just kidding. But, and I mean, I think it's so valuable. Me and my wife did premarital counseling. And especially because it helps you, especially, you know, if you're doing things right and you're not living together, it helps you like unpack, especially for those who don't know how to communicate properly.
Yeah.
It'll help you learn how to communicate properly. It'll help you voice your opinion in a way that will actually be heard by your significant other.
Right.
I will, and if I do your premarital counseling, my goal is to make you guys fight at least once. because you need to know, you're going to fight in a relationship inevitably. But you need to learn how to fight fair. And you need to learn how to fight in a way where you can come back together ultimately. And you need to learn humility in a relationship is huge. Because pride in a relationship will destroy the relationship. When, especially as a male, when you're not willing to admit that you were wrong. Well, my female, she didn't do this, she didn't do that. Like, and that gave you the right to do what you did. That gave you the right to just disrespect her. So yeah, I think premarital counseling is a huge thing to take when you're engaged and you're in that and you're getting ready for marriage. Because that's almost like that final test of yes, this is, because that in our premarital counseling we'll let you know at the end of it, but like I don't know if you should get married yet. I haven't had to do that yet, but there is that, like, because at the end of it, like, if you guys are on two opposite spectrums, I'm not, as the pastor, I'm not going to marry you because I don't think you're right. You know, I wouldn't think you're right. I haven't had to do that. And normally when someone's getting premarital counseling, that I don't think you're usually close enough. But, yeah, I think it's that final lot line because, again, too often people get marriage and you can go get married at justice of peace. Why are you coming to the church?
Right.
Why are you asking a pastor to marry you? If you're asking a pastor to marry you, you're asking the Lord to be in the center of your marriage.
Yeah.
Which means you better learn how to fight through the hard times.
Amen. Yeah.
I honestly don't think there's many reasons to get a divorce. I mean, of course, infidelity is always that one that comes up. Abuse is always another. Like, if you are in a, if you are listening to this and you're in an abusive relationship where you are being physically, mentally abused, and verbally abused, you need to seek help. You need to get out of that. And that's a pass. Like, get out of that marriage because your health is so important, men and women. And again, same thing, if you're being, if you're, you know, the infidelity, but there's beauty when you can have, I mean, you've heard the stories. We've known people who have, they've cheated on their spouses and the spouse stayed. And they, I honestly don't know how I could answer that question. If my wife were to do that, it would be hard to stay because of my personality type. But that comes back to that humility of humbling yourself before the Lord and remembering that you are just as much of a sinner as anybody else. And you're going to fight. You're going to fight to stay together. And there's beauty in that. Me and my wife have fought to stay together through a lot of things. And we've come out stronger on that. These relationships, it's not just the, oh, this is hard, I'm out. But unfortunately, that's the American way. And that's the way of the church, unfortunately, here of late, where people, Christians, young Christians will get married and be like, ah, this ain't for me, I'm out. That's not what marriage is about. It's a commitment through thick and thin. So fight through it. So
Amen. Yeah, that's real good, man. I'm glad you mentioned that.
All
right. Before we end the plane on this one, I do want to ask, like, how should dating be done within the church? Like, as the local, like, say a verb, a dating relationship brews there. Between, like, congregants or even a ministry leader in a congregant, like, what should that, because that's, like, so tough to navigate because you're doing it in the church body. There's a lot of eyes on the relationship, which can be a good thing, but it's also, like, it can be a bad thing, especially if it doesn't work out, but then they pressure and all that. Like, how do you think that should be done?
With care. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought through this one yet.
I'll be honest, it's something that I, like, as a ministry leader.
I
consider quite often.
And I've seen, like, you know, with pastors I've known, like, they've ended up, like, pastors who were single end up marrying someone that was through the congregation. Yeah, so I think that accountability is very important in that. To make sure that if something were to go south, that the relationship might not work, but that that does not affect either one of their relationship with the Lord or with the local church. That, yeah, if they agree to go their separate ways, that, again, it's a mutual, it, like, it's a healthy way to, again, where someone's not being church hurt at the same time as they're being losing a relationship. That would be my big, so that would be where accountability would have to be a big role, I think. For the person in the congregation and for the person in leadership. Because I think, too, I'm thinking from the perspective of the congregant who is dating a ministry leader. If something, they almost, I feel like, would think, if they didn't, if it wasn't working, they might be worried to voice their opinion because, well, I don't want to make the ministry leader look bad, so I'm just going to silently suffer in this relationship with this person that I know we're not supposed to be together, but I don't want to drag their name through the mud, even though they're not doing anything. Like, you know what I mean? I think it's very careful and, so just
accountability for the person in leadership and the person in the congregation to make sure that it's done right. Mm-hmm. And to where, and for that person in the congregation not to feel like the odds are stacked against her, that no one will listen to him or her.
Yeah.
Because, oh, they're just a congregant. Yeah. This is a leadership. No,
right.
Look, we're all human beings. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Like that divide can get very messy and very ugly. So,
yeah,
I think accountability will be a huge part in that.
Yeah, I think that's...
And I don't want to discourage that either.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think... Yeah, I don't... I think that would be foolishness of us to discourage something like that because that's us trying to play God in a sense.
Right.
Of like, you cannot cross this line. This is a threshold you are not allowed to cross because this is a leader of the church. Yeah. Like, I just don't... I don't think that would be a good, healthy boundary. But I think there does need to be boundaries and accountability.
Right.
In that relationship.
Right. And it kind of gets into the last question of, like, how the church... should treat those who are in a dating relationship, because I think there's been so many horror stories. And then also even just the way churches in general approach the topic of dating and singleness and stuff, it prevents so many from even wanting to date within their church. Because it can be a scary thing, man. Mm-hmm. Like you know, you even like have that I guess that question in your mind of like, well, you can only, like as a male, like you can only shoot so many shots within your church body, because it's not like you don't want a serial date within a church, because then you become, you know, especially as like a ministry leader or even just a congregant, then you become kind of known within the church as being a player or mm-hmm. something like that, you know? So you want to be careful with that, but then even when you start in the relationship, then it's like, immediately there's eyes and there's questions of like, okay, when are you guys getting married? You know, how you guys doing? You guys, have you stumbled? Like, you know, did you kind of go over a house? Like, y'all sit on the bed together? Like, did you get a little too close or whatever? You know, people be asking these questions because their eyes are like, they're on you all the time, and that can be tough. You know, I do think that it's really good and it is wise to have a community for accountability around you, which is why I do think that, you know, although, you know, we can kind of talk negatively about how the church has viewed, you know, dating and how those relationships have kind of occurred within the church, but there's also this component of where it should be a space that helps stretch you to do things even better than you would outside of that community, which is why I think beautiful relationships can come out of, you know, your local church. It's literally leaning on Jesus, man. You know, like, gotta lean on Jesus when navigating those waters. And it's something definitely that I've thought about quite often, you know, as a person who's single and in leadership. So yeah. But more specifically, like, some advice on like how the church should treat those who are in those relationships. Should they be constantly asking them questions? Should they sit back and let them be, give them some space? How should that happen in the context of dating, like within the church?
Mm-hmm. I think there should be certain people that do ask questions. Mm-hmm. And I think that should come from a community that the couple trust.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have people in the church. You're going to have the older couple.
Oh,
yeah. Like, are you guys staying pure? Are you guys doing this? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like,
when you get for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Don't, yeah. Don't when you're getting there. Married, you got to get married soon.
Keep,
like,
keep your hand up here, young man.
Yeah. Mind your business.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think it's the fine line.
Yeah.
There needs to be accountability. The church needs to be the church.
Mm.
The church needs to make sure that Jesus is being preached.
Yes.
That Jesus is being communicated in such a way where the couple wants to put Jesus at the center of their relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And build upon that, about build their marriage upon and their relationship upon his firm foundation, which is unshakable.
Yeah.
That's the church's responsibility.
Right.
The church's responsibility, it's not your responsibility
to make sure, like, reach out and out every day, hey, you guys staying pure? Like, there's accountability. Accountability comes, but that doesn't need to come from the whole church.
Right.
That comes from in a setting of people that the couple has considered being trustworthy, maybe a trustworthy mentoring couple to them.
Yeah.
Which I would be a big proponent of having, like, couples within the church who are, it's not marriage counseling, but couples that are going to, like, help mentor younger couples to walk through their relationship, the hardships, and the failures that might come.
Yeah.
Like, let's not kid ourselves. There's going to be people who, they do have sex before marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's been one of my biggest things is, like, I've seen churches disqualify volunteers from serving in their ministries because they've had premarital sex. So you are now saying because they've had premarital sex in a relationship that they're not even in anymore, they can no longer serve in your ministry because they had sex. So therefore, you're saying basically you're without sin, you're good, you're holy, you guys can serve.
Right.
But if you had sex before marriage, you're not allowed to serve in this church.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a problem for me.
Yeah.
We can get wrapped up in purity culture, but purity culture has lots of flaws as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, purity culture is more scare tactics than anything.
Yeah.
But there is a genuine need for purity. Mm-hmm. The Lord does ask that of us. He wants you to remain pure before marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way the church presents it sometimes can be very off-putting.
Right.
And not reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, that's why when I'm thinking of this, I think the church needs to be the church.
Yeah.
Preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Make it to where people want to build their relationships upon Jesus,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with Jesus at the center of their relationship.
Yeah, amen.
So there's a lot I could say, and mm-hmm. we could go on for hours. Honestly, the thing that where my brain is right now, what I'm thinking.
Right.
And I'm not promoting that couples have sex before marriage. Do not hear me saying that. Do not hear me saying that. Yeah. We're listening to all one out. Nick said I could have sex before marriage because the Lord is gracious and merciful. And he is gracious and merciful.
Yes, he is.
But there's also that don't abuse his grace.
Do not.
That's just my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I love that. And I love that advice there too, because like, and I've mentioned it to you, I've mentioned it to Jerry, like I have this vision of when I am in that season of my life of, you know, having, you know, four or five couples that I can really lean on and
mm-hmm.
Go out on, you know, double dates and stuff and have them, you know, be in on that relationship, be able to have ears and knowledge of what's going on and be able to pour into us and stuff. And so that's something that I really would love to have.
Yeah.
You know, when I get to that stage of my life. To kind of answer the question too, like, I think when the church sees, first of all, like, I've heard of this couple, and I can't remember, I think his name, the husband's name, I know is Jerry Flowers. Some of you guys may be familiar with him. Big on Instagram and stuff with dating topics and whatnot. Hmm. But I heard something, I think, one time with him and his wife. They were talking about how they dated, they both went to the same church and stuff, and when they met and started dating, they literally did not let anybody know in the church. Like, nobody knew in the church but their core friends and mm-hmm. pastor, you know, and their, you know, family.
Yeah.
But nobody outside of that, nobody knew. Like, they didn't make it obvious in church or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that you want to hide it. Like, if you want to sit next to your girl in church, like, do that. But, you know, I did like that as wisdom of, like, making sure that you not put it all the way out there and open at first to kind mm-hmm. of protect your relationship and protect the honesty of it and stuff. But then also, like, they made the point to say, like, listen, we actually did have a community. It's just we didn't want the whole church to be in on that because of the potential of there being some hurt and
yep.
you know, things come going there. So, you know, I would say definitely give space to people who are in a relationship. Maybe ask them, like, hey, do you need a mentor? Do you need,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because that way they can kind of tell you, like, hey, no, you know, I already have a group of people who are kind of pouring in.
Yes.
And you know, we love them. You know, if we ever have some, you know, some issues and we may need some advice, like, yes, we would love to come to you. But, you know, be more of a listener before you try to kind of pour out on these people. So I think that would be my advice.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking, as you're saying that, I was thinking about a relationship me and my wife were invited into a while back, and we were all together, and the then fiance was saying something about her fiance.
Okay.
And I sat there and I was like, ooh, that could be an issue. So, and I'm not going to address it as a couple, but I had a relationship with the guy. So I was like, when we were hanging out a while after, I was like, hey man, so-and-so said this, you good? And like, what led you there? You know, like I was able to speak into his life and like, man, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. Like, if you keep doing stuff like this, it's gonna lead to some serious problems.
Right.
So, but again, because they invited us in, I was able to speak that.
Amen.
You know, and because I had a previous relationship with him, I was able to say that.
Yeah.
So I think it is like you were just saying again, man. Like, it's super important for couples to seek mentoring, or seeking relationships with people who are further along, who can walk with you.
Yes.
Amen. Because then in the same turn, that dude, or like, you know, if you were in a relationship, like, you can come to me and be like, bro, this is stressful. Like, and I would be like, yes it is, let's talk. So I think that's important.
Amen. All right, so I think we covered a lot on that one.
We did.
If you guys have any more like layers to this that you would like us to discuss, definitely hit us up. I Went Out Pod on Instagram, and you know, we'll review it and you know, potentially talk about it.
Yep.
All right, guys. Talk to y'all soon.
See ya.
Peace.